Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
This is the Ben Burnett Show, the only show in America that features a one-term has-been retired politician that nobody knows on Extra 106.3.
Welcome into the Ben Burnett Show. My name is Ben Burnett. It's Sunday. Each Sunday, you can find me at noon on Extra 106.3, Atlanta's all-conservative talk station. Man, it was a week, if there ever was one. What do I mean? Lots of uncertainty in banking? Clearly a lot of uncertainty in banking. UBS is forced to acquire via the Swiss government, Credit Suisse. We got SVB Bank we talked about last week imploding. Those dominoes are going to fall all around planet Earth. The central banks have pumped so much money into the marketplace with COVID, everything else. It's like they never really asked themselves the next question. When you start to raise interest rates, what's going to happen? And nobody really, really knows where it ends. I don't know. You don't know. We all know that there are issues. We all knew that when we printed all that money, there were going to be questions that never got answered. It's like we had to solve the problems of the day and the problems of tomorrow could wait. It's how people do things. All over the world, always have. You solve an immediate need. You leave the other 45 neglected. You fight another day. What else is out there? Man, did you guys see Ron DeSantis this week finally decided that he had had enough getting punched in the gut by Donald Trump, former president of the United States? It looks like that battle is getting ready to rip. Earlier this week on the Ben Burnett Show, I recorded with Secretary of Health and Human Services from the Donald Trump administration, Tom Price. That interview will be out in a couple of weeks. Talk about all sorts of things, the field in 2024. We talk about his pathway into Congress, what he did in the General Assembly, growing a practice at Resurgence, which a lot of you have probably had a knee or an elbow or MCL, ACL operated on. It's really all-encompassing of the guy's entire life. Tom Price is a great guy, great American. Georgia 6 was super lucky to have him. Lots of Cobb County, you guys remember him, North Fulton, a little bit of Cherokee. Tom's a great American. Acrimoniously kind of escorted out of the Trump White House for things that may or may not have been his fault with flying military planes. It's a really, really good interview. It'll get a lot of national attention because he says some things about the former president that I don't think he's going to like. And I promise you, Donald Trump hears and reads everything. He's going to hear about this. It's that good. So go download, like, and subscribe the show. It's on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, the Extra 106.3 app. You can listen to my buddies, Tug Rhino and Carlos Medina from 6 to 9, Monday through Friday. You can catch Clay Travis and Buck Sexton from noon to 3 in the old former Rush Limbaugh spot, hallowed ground in conservative talk radio. I think a lot of what the station's doing, I think a lot of the guys that they have on here, I'm super excited to be a part of it. You can download my show, like I told you, and you can follow me on social media at Ben Burnett. You follow me on Instagram at The Ben Burnett Show, where I'm not recording reels like I did. I'm kind of protesting, and I'm protesting you, and you know who you are. We give the people what they want, but the people need to be the people every once in a while. Shots fired. Well, earlier this week, President Trump, as we had talked about, has been poking at Governor Ron DeSantis for a little while. And Ron DeSantis finally sat down in an interview platform where he felt like he would get the most attention with Piers Morgan, who's a fabulous interviewer. He's had Harry, he's had Meghan, he's had all sorts of people, Ronaldo, all worldwide influencers all over the world. We don't call them superstars anymore, they're influencers. I never thought Prince Harry would be an influencer, but I guess he's going that route. Even though Meghan slid into his DMs and ruined his whole life. We'll leave that for another day. Yeah, you got to be careful with the people on Instagram who chirp at you. They always want something. And if you're one of those people that want something, I've got Yetis. So send me a DM, mail it to you, black, seafoam, green, Ben Burnett Show. I don't need anything from you. Just go like and subscribe the show. Give me 5 stars. Really appreciate all of you. As we look at this past week, Governor DeSantis, in his interview with Piers Morgan, talked for probably about a half hour about all sorts of things, what he'd do differently. You know, we've kind of seen as the battlefield starts to get set, you realize at certain points that Governor DeSantis, when he was a mild-mannered member of Congress, was in favor of funding NATO countries, our allies in Eastern Europe, getting the Ukrainians munitions from a long time ago, you know, was very interested. Now he's not as interested in funding the war in Ukraine because it's politically expedient. It makes him different than some of the other Republicans that are going to run for office that have a voting record. You know, Donald Trump will say, "I never started a war. I never waded into anything. I sat there and represented you." You know, there's a lot of things I've talked ad nauseum. I like Donald Trump for 2.5-3 years of his administration. That last year when the wheels came off and he lost, cost Georgia its 2 Senate seats because he was a selfish little baby. I will never get over that. On some level, you are the sum of the parts. That's Donald Trump. He's always been self-interested. You can't have a president in this country that is entirely self-interested. You can have one that thinks they're the narcissist best person for the job. I think they've all got tremendous egos. But you can't have somebody who's always in it for themselves. Biggest gripe I have with Donald Trump is that he would take his ball and go home when he didn't get his way. He wouldn't sit there. He didn't really have a good fundamental understanding of how Congress worked. You know, he wanted to repeal Obamacare. You heard it for a year and a half on the campaign trail back in 2016. We repeal and replace Obamacare. Well, you actually have to have congressmen and senators that you haven't sat there and just murdered in cold blood over and over and over again. Some of them may have participated in Vietnam and set as POWs, and eventually, you know, that cost him. And he's always got somebody else to blame. It's never him. And that's my biggest problem with the man. But I was really excited, you know, Clay Travis earlier this week on Clay and Buck, and he also said it on his podcast. He was talking about Governor DeSantis and the deal that he would cut. Clay and I disagree with one thing. I don't think that Donald Trump can't win again in 2024. I know he can't win again in 2024 because I live in the suburbs, and the suburbs are the collective suburbs of America, and they like people who have decency, who do things in a certain manner, have a certain tone or tenor, and if you violate that agreement over and over and over again, you turn them off. Over the wrong issues, over the right issues, it doesn't matter. Sooner or later, they quit listening to you, and they don't want to hear from you every day. They want to hear from you when there's a crisis. They want to hear about what you're doing to drive the agenda forward. And Donald Trump is a perpetual martyr. And I know that plenty of you would sit there and say the same thing about me. Good at putting the martyr mask on, but look, I'm not the president, and I'm not going to be the president, and you can't have that in a forward-thinking way. So Clay kind of breaks it down. Go ahead and play cut one.
Ron DeSantis, in an interview with Piers Morgan, finally returned fire at Trump. And essentially said that he would be a better president than Trump. I'm succinctly kind of summing that up. I'm going to talk for probably the next year and just give advice as we do on Clay and Buck everywhere else. If I were Donald Trump's campaign advisor, what I would say is Ron DeSantis is a good governor. He should stay in Florida. He should bide his time. I will support him in 4 years after I beat Joe Biden and come back and win.
Let me tell you why that doesn't work. Because nobody's star shines bright forever. And Ron DeSantis has a tiger by the tail in 2020. There is nobody that garners more earned media in America right now than those two men, Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis. And look, I'll vote for Ron DeSantis. I will not vote for Donald Trump. I won't do it based on personal relationships, how he's treated people, how he cost Georgia 2 Senate seats. He is the wrong leader for this country. And look, that's not because I sit here and have glowing things to say about Governor DeSantis. I get super tired of listening to all the rhetoric about wokeism and left-leaning this and that. And it's like, guys, I am an economy, old-school-based Republican. But I don't always get what I want. And Donald Trump, that is a lesson that you need to learn. And you don't need to learn it in office for 4 more years while you sit there and fight with the Democrats. That man couldn't govern well when he had both chambers of Congress. Couldn't. He didn't know the right amount of money to ask for the wall. He couldn't get the wall done, didn't know how to use reconciliation. And look, that's insider baseball, but you pay the president, and you elect the president to be the insider who knows how to drive results. If the border wall was such a huge deal to Ronald Reagan, it'd be built. If the border wall was a huge deal to George W. Bush, and it was, he would have built it. But he had a different way. He wanted to go with the pathway to citizenship. We can sit there and argue about the right way or the wrong way to deal with the drug cartels coming across America. But look, I know one guy who couldn't get the job done when he had both chambers of Congress and was the president, Donald Trump. Let me tell you something. I can disagree with Ron DeSantis's social fights over and over and over again. That man sat in Congress for the better part of a decade before he was the governor of Florida. And you know how it works when you're the guy who sits as the 435 people and you have consensus and you've got power, you understand, even if you lose all the time, you know how bills get written, you know how projects get funded, you know how the process works. Donald Trump is wrong for all of those reasons. And while so many of you say that doesn't matter, he talks to the little people, it does matter. You have to understand that there is a give and take when you don't have all the votes that you need, and you have to understand what makes certain people operate. That's what would make Ron DeSantis a better option than Donald Trump. The other thing is that Ron DeSantis isn't a guy who's going to sit here and lose in the suburbs. He's not. He's going to win in the suburbs like he won in the state of Florida. And you know how I know? Florida has lots of suburbs. Miami-Dade County, consolidated government, South Florida. Guys, that had been a Democrat haven forever. And plenty of the Cubans are conservative people. But there's plenty of other socioeconomic and demographic groups that aren't. Ron DeSantis won that county. Ron, you think Ron DeSantis would lose in North Fulton? You think Ron DeSantis would lose in Cobb County? There is no way. People see the Democrats for what they are in 2023, and they will in 2024. But you have to have the right messenger. And I think that the guy needs to use, and Governor DeSantis needs to use, the next 6 months to soften the elbows just a little bit, because they're going to have to sharpen up again. And he really needs to take that battle that he took in Florida all over the country in metro areas with lots of density and sit there and talk about the forward-thinking places and ideas that he has, because that's how you win elections. Donald Trump doesn't have any forward-thinking ideas. That's my biggest problem with him. The Ben Burnett Show you can find on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Tuesdays I do long-form interviews. Thursdays I do My Thought in One Take, where I take an issue that's kind of complex, break it down in about 5 minutes, and let you understand it. So when you go to the office or the ball field or anything like that, plenty of times we pull the politics in, but plenty of the time we leave the politics out and just explain what things are. You can catch me on Extra 106.3 Sundays at noon, like right now. And Colin, I am standing up just for you. We will be right back.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. This is the Ben Burnett Show on Extra 106.3.
Welcome back to the Ben Burnett Show. My name is still Ben Burnett. I seem to do that every single time I get to the second segment. You can catch me on Twitter at Ben Burnett. You can find me on Instagram at the Ben Burnett Show, where I used to make really, really good reels. I've just mailed it in. I need to get back there. I was doing really well with it for a while. You know, there's so many things. It's one of the hard parts about being in the space with respect to entertainment, politics, news, current events, is that you got to get out there. And man, sometimes it is hard to put the camera on my face. But I'll tell you this, I definitely see it pay off. Highest rated weekend show at Extra with women 25 to 44. It's hard to beat that. If you wanted demographics, that's the one I want. They got discretionary income. You can call Colin. Referenced him at the end of the segment at Extra 106.3 and 680 The Fan. Just spend all your advertising dollars with us. We love it. Love to have you. Did you guys look this week? The Federal Reserve Bank raises rates a quarter of a point, and it looks like they are in a real pickle with some of the banking failures. One of the things I want you to know, just at a pretty basic concept, real estate investment trusts, REITs, developers, they make money in a couple of ways. They make money on the buy with the transaction. They make money on the sell with the transaction. They make money in the interim on sometimes 2 and 20. What does that mean? You see, you hear it all the time. It's 2% of assets and 20% of the proceeds. You hear that a lot more with investing. You hear it a lot with the developers, Blackstone, CBRE, those types of guys. They make money in more ways than just selling real estate and keeping things leased. They make money when they develop based on a, you know, it's around 2% to be 100% honest with you. And so when you see a 2% rate increase in the course of 12 months from the central bank, Federal Reserve in this case, the European Central Bank, it gets really, really difficult for them to keep up with it. That's nobody's fault. Their practices are super well-intentioned. They're well-balanced. But it doesn't always work that way. It worked really, really well when times were when inflation in this country was free and they were loaning money out at zero. But when you see the central banks look at 4.755 and their goal is to keep inflation at 2%, man, that doesn't make sense. If you look earlier this week, the UK, the BBC reported that the UK, which you would find in the United States by the Bureau of Labor and Statistics on what the inflation rate is, or the Federal Reserve, either one, they publish it every month. Inflation jumped to 10.4. That was almost 5 points in 1 month, and that's on cost of goods sold. That means when you go buy an egg, in last year it cost you a dollar. Now it costs you $1.10. That's just an easy way to break it down for you. But Jerome Powell lives in conflict with what's really, really hard to do. I talked a couple weeks ago about Blackstone. One of the things that they said was that Jerome Powell knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that he had to force unemployment in this country to 5%. That's from Blackstone. It's one of the largest real estate investment trusts in the world, publicly stated that he knew that he had to drive unemployment higher. I don't think he's going to do that right now because I think he realizes that his boss, Joe Biden, and to be honest with you, Jerome Powell could be a guy that could supersede administrations. You could totally see him in another Trump administration or a DeSantis administration. He's relatively apolitical. You saw Alan Greenspan transcend presidential administration after presidential administration from Reagan, Bush, Clinton, on and on and on, because the guy did a good job. And so much of your monetary policy, look, you leave the printing of money. He makes a recommendation, but you leave that to Congress. That's their job. But what I would tell you is that they authorize him to do it. It's not their job. It's the Federal Reserve's job to do what Congress tells them to do. But what I would tell you is this. He said this week that his goal was to get inflation back to a period of 2%. I don't know how in the hell he looks at anybody with a straight face and thinks that 2% is the number that you need to be at. If you don't believe me, here he is.
We have to bring inflation down to 2%. The costs of bringing it down, there are real costs to bring it down to 2%, but the costs of failing are much higher.
Think about what he just said. When was the last time you saw inflation at 2%? 2020. 2021 at the latest. And then they pumped one out of every $5 in your pocket was printed by the last two presidential administrations, Biden in the last 2 years and Trump in the previous four. In fairness to Donald Trump, it was really like the last 2 years of his administration. He wasn't by any means a fiscal conservative. He definitely saw COVID as a wartime economy. And look, that's what happens. You have a giant conflict like World War II. Man, the U.S. government printed tons and tons of money. Candidly, far more during World War II, if you dollar cost averaged it back, than they did during COVID. But it was a different day and time. You were fighting the Nazis. You were fighting a two-front war. You were also fighting the Japanese. So many of your young people, essentially half of them, were deployed all around the world. It was a different day and time. And you had to do things to keep things afloat at home with your workforce that had largely been depleted. And you saw a lot of women get into the workforce at that time. It's really where that kind of changed in this country. But when you look and you see that the inflationary numbers in the UK, which honestly, it's not as strong a banking system as the United States, but it is beyond a reputable one. And no, I don't share all the politics of the UK. You don't share all the politics of the UK, but you're crazy if you don't think that they have something to offer you. You know, they really wanted autonomy in their break from the European Union to be able to more or less control their own currency in a greater way. Sure, that has had consequences. They have lots of immigration issues that they didn't have prior to with the rest of Europe. But if you look around just a little bit at what is happening over there, when you see inflation to a place of 10%, and you have Jerome Powell here in the same week say the overall goal for the United States is to get it to 2, I don't have any idea how that happens. I don't think you have any idea how that happens. If you want to wade in, give me a call, 404-741-1230. I'm happy to hear from all of you. I don't think it's going to work. I think that the United States economy, and I've said this over and over again on the show, I don't think it's going to change in any time soon. I think that a lot of you are going to be forced into getting alternative work sources. And no, I think you'll still have your W-2 job because the unemployment numbers in this country, you saw it this past month, tick up from 3.4 to 3.5, but that's still beyond a full employment pool. These companies that have a lot of that free cash available that they got during COVID, and they've put it to work, but plenty of them are still profitable. There's a ton of uncertainty in the market, but that doesn't mean that things are headed in a bad direction by any means. What is that really going to translate to in the long term? I think Jerome Powell is wrong for one thing. To say that inflation in this country is the goal is to get it back to 2%, I think you need to have realistic goals. I think that the realistic goal for inflation in this country is probably 4, probably 5, something that keeps up with the wage increases that you see from your employers year over year. And that's the reason why I tell many of you, you need to start looking at alternative work sources. You know, if you get let go from one single thing, you're going to be in a world of hurt because we'll be 25% more expensive to live in 2024 than it was in 2020. Think about that. That means that you can essentially take a quarter out of every dollar off the table. And while you have to do that, you got to add it back. How are you going to do that? You can't expect your W-2 job to sit there and be able to keep up with 10% inflation like they are in the UK. And guys, they're a lot more socialist than we are. They have a ton more entitlements, and we've got plenty of them here. But that doesn't end well for absolutely anybody. You can kind of hear some of the uncertainty that was going on with the British this week when some of those numbers came out.
2.5%, the highest level since 2008. That upside inflation surprise yesterday really nailed this on. Remember, the bank has had this data, we think, since Monday. But as you say, it follows the ECB, the Fed and the SNB. You might say that they're all prioritising the fight against inflation over financial stability.
I said it all right there. 10.4% is the inflationary number, and they are raising rates to what it will essentially be 5%. And Jerome Powell has the gall to sit there and look at you and be like, yeah, we got to get back to a place where there's 2%. Well, the entire world has to stop printing money and subsidize everything and let some of this run its course. The problem with that is that you have election after election. Every 2 years you have them in the United States where you can essentially change course. It's very, very, very difficult to maintain the standard of what you need to do versus what is politically expedient. You saw it, you know, 10 or 15 years ago when you saw a huge amount of unemployment in Greece. And yeah, look, we can all take shots at Greece. We can all take shots at France, and we'll get there in a minute, about what needs to be done. But there are very difficult things that need to take place, and you've got to find a way to keep people in the workforce and encourage them to be there and keep them off entitlements. Yeah, I referenced that earlier. You saw in Paris, President Emmanuel Macron said that he essentially unilaterally, because he couldn't get it through his three chambers of parliament in Europe, you saw him raise the retirement age from 62 to 64, and you have seen the French people go crazy. Guys, everywhere doesn't have the value system of the United States. Here you get 2-3 weeks off, so be it. I understand it. You understand it. We live here. It's the greatest place in the entire world. The French people, by and large, if you're outside of hospitality or food service, have the entire month of August off every year. They literally sand the banks of the Seine River, which is right in the middle of downtown Paris. Everybody goes everywhere. The French people cover it up in all cover up the four corners of France while they take their month-long holiday. And they're mad about increasing the retirement age by 2 years. Absent COVID, the French people live to be about 300 years old. It's been a long time. The Social Security age for retirement when my grandparents retired was 62. They've been dead 20 years, both of them. And they retired at 62. Now you see it with my parents. They can take a full retirement at 67. If you looked me in the eye at 40 years old and said, Ben, you can't take a dollar of Social Security until you're 70, but this is what we're going to do for you in return, and this is how we're going to back it and guarantee it. It's 30 years from now. I don't have the ability to really look down the field 30 years from now. For all intents and purposes, I don't even know if I'll be here. But you have to be able to have the conversation reasonably. And the people in Europe, you've seen them go absolutely crazy. The unions and the rail workers, they've gone on strike. So if you're visiting France anytime soon, I got news for you. It is not going to be pleasant. And then the trash workers went on strike, and it's heavily bargained for. The unions are very upset with President Macron. But I will say this. There's a lot to be said as a leader for doing what needs to be done. And I think that that is one of the things that I really struggle with President Biden, because he's sending Jerome Powell out into the ethosphere just to sit there and be like, yeah, we're going to get back to 2% inflation. Guys, there is no way that that is going to happen. And it's wrong for a dignitary of the United States to sit on television and tell that to the average American person who doesn't know the difference, really don't know how to make sense of what inflation actually is. You know, and there are all kinds of tax problems and consequences. The federal governments are going to have to look at different consumption-based revenue streams, and that's similar to a conversation that we're going to have in Georgia. Did you guys see this week that after four bills didn't make it across the line with crossover day, that apparently one of them is back? Sports gaming. I was really, really excited to see Eric Erickson, who candidly, I'll get in trouble, sits on another radio station in Atlanta. He sits syndicated all over the place, and he is a very, very, very religious conservative. And I think that he is 100% right. Sports gaming in the state of Georgia needs to happen. And he said for two reasons. One of them was that sports gaming needed to happen because it would alleviate the need for casino gaming, and it would alleviate the need for the legalization of marijuana. I'm not in favor of either of those two things. And guys, I don't care if you smoke pot. I don't want to know about it. I sat in elected office. I've had all kinds of meetings with people. One time we looked at decriminalizing it under an ounce in the city limits of Alpharetta, and the police department told us why we shouldn't. And you know what they told me? And I 100% believe it. It was all they had to say. Ben, if you're traveling with right at an ounce of marijuana, what else are you doing? Because, look, we've all been to college, and we know an ounce of marijuana is a lot of pot. That's a lot. And I don't necessarily think that threshold needs to be there. And the cops also sat there and told me when I sat in elected office, man, if you've got a joint and that's it, and you're headed home and you're not under the influence and we find it, it's a lot of paperwork and hassle to sit there and charge somebody with one or two or three misdemeanors who's really not doing anything other than having a taillight out. Do you really think that that's the business that we're in? And I read the police reports for years. Plenty of the time, if they had a marijuana violation, it was something else. So I'm not in favor of decriminalizing marijuana, because plenty of people who are driving with it are doing something else wrong. Now, if you want to sit on your back porch, knock yourself out. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother the cops. It doesn't bother your neighbors. But I think sometimes we have a conversation about legalizing things that doesn't really make sense. If you look at the state of Oklahoma, they legalized it more or less recreationally everywhere. They have more marijuana distributorships and grow houses in that state per capita than anywhere else in the country. And you know what happened? They figured out that they didn't really like the effects of it, because it brought a lot of other things in there. And yeah, you can regulate it, you can keep it clean and so forth, but look, it's very difficult. You have conversations around the country with places that are centered around the Department of Defense. You know, there's a lot of places. Huntsville, Alabama, adamantly, which is that's an economy. If you've ever been there, it is entirely predicated on NASA, Department of Defense, and the contractor base. They drug test those people all the time, and you need them. So why would you sit there and legalize something and just ask everybody to be personally responsible that really doesn't better your community in the long haul? It's like I said, if you want to buy it from the guy down the street and sit in your backyard, man, nobody's prosecuting you. But if you want to cause harm, that is an entirely different conversation. So I'm not in favor. I actually agreed with Eric. Not in favor of the legalization of marijuana. I think that that conversation really loses efficacy over time. And it's not because I'm sit there as some white hat religious conservative. I'm not. But I also think, look, I don't want the labor unions to have any more control in the state of Georgia. They would regulate that industry and they'd make a play for it. They'd also make a play for casino gaming. And look, I think that casino gaming brings a lot of bad things, drug trafficking, human trafficking, into an economy that we don't necessarily want to have a conversation around. We can have the conversation, but I think that you look at the effects. Look, there's nothing about Las Vegas that I want to be. And I have to go there relatively regularly for work. I am always so glad to get home, take a shower, and move on with my day, because I don't want to be a place like that. I'm also a freedom lover at the same time. And when you look at the freedoms, look, sports gaming, it doesn't affect me. It doesn't affect people. My brother, you know, he'll go across the river in North Carolina every once in a while and cast a bet when he's traveling. But look, I don't have a good reason for it not to work here. If you want to bet on the Hawks or the Braves or the Falcons and you want to, you know, bet $5 or $10, I don't want to drive anybody to insolvency, but on some level, that is your own fault. And look, if you're going to sit there and create something that generates $200 million in the state of Georgia a year, and that's $2 million that I get to put back in my pocket because you want to gamble, go for it. It doesn't bother me in the least if that's what you want to do. I think that's the right conversation to have, and I think the religious conservatives need to find a way to make it, to be in support of it from a constitutional amendment perspective, because you codify the language that you're going to instill in that bill, and it would take a supermajority in both chambers and a new governor to change it. And I think that that's really the conversation that we have to have moving forward in the state of Georgia. It's not predicated on should people be allowed to gamble or should people be allowed to smoke pot. They do those things anyway. But I don't necessarily, one of them's not mind-altering. I'm totally and reasonably fine. If you want to sit there and bet on the Dogs or bet on the Jackets, you can listen to the Jackets on 680 The Fan all fall, basketball season, football season, baseball season even sometimes. I just thought it'd be great for the station. But I also think that you have to do thoughtful things in the right way, and there are too many of our legislators that I don't trust with the mental capacity to sit here and talk issues with you for an hour because they can't do it. And they, you know, it's one of those things like you deserve a certain amount of freedom, but you also need to be relatively skeptical of the government. If this is a way to isolate a conversation, give the people what they want and move on and not have to deal with casino gaming again and not have to deal with the marijuana conversation again or any of those types of things, I am all in because they're fights that I really, really, really don't want to have. Monday through Friday, you can listen to Tug Rhino and Carlos Medina on the Morning Extra. Set Sundays at noon, you can catch me. You can also find me on Tuesday and Thursday. Thursdays, I do My Thought in One Take, where I break down an issue in about 5 or 6 minutes. Tuesdays, I do long-form interviews. You know, coming up in May, it doesn't look like I'm busy because I've got one more interview out of the Evergreen stack that I've been doing, but I've been very, very busy recording. In a couple weeks, I'm recording with Marcus Allen, who's a Heisman Trophy running back, played for the Chiefs and the Raiders, lives in North Fulton. I don't want to give too much away. This past week, I recorded with Tom Price, talks extensively about his desire to craft a repeal and replace Obamacare bill. And he delves into some of the details of how he became a part of the Trump administration, his relationship with Paul Ryan, his relationship with Mike Pence. It is fascinating to have a conversation. It's not for everybody. Look, if you're like the guns and unborn kids advocate and that's all you want to listen to, the Tom Price interview is not for you. But if you really want the nitty-gritty onto why a bill got killed and the personal politics and the personalities in play, you will be glued to the last half hour. And Tom's a great guy. Plenty of you have had things operated on in the state of Georgia at Resurgence. That was his. He's a co-founder. He's a super genuine, nice, thoughtful, smart man. And I think that he'll be good. Then there's Souther. We're going to have Chris Clark, who runs the Georgia Chamber of Commerce. He's recording in a couple weeks. Athletes, politicians, business people, the people that create your perspective. It's really what I like to do. On Sundays, obviously, you catch here and we talk issues back and forth, ins and outs, sports, gaming, marijuana, transgender kids, even though it bothers me to have to do that every once in a while. But we also have conversation around the central bank, you know, and how it's going to make a difference to your life. That probably needs to be a one take. I think that the collapse of SVB Bank in the last couple of weeks is really kind of the first shot that you're going to see. And do I think the banking system is in trouble? No. I think the too-big-to-fail banks will always be too-big-to-fail. And plenty of them are run well. J.P. Morgan Chase, Wells Fargo, those have no issues at all. In fact, the federal government's about to ask them to help bail out a lot of small banks. But you also look a little bit further down. Truist, great balance sheet. TD Bank, another really, really solid performer. You know, those are the biggest banks in the country, and the federal government is going to put some pressure on them to help some of these smaller banks that couldn't withstand the 2% interest rate based on some of the industries that they were invested in. I don't necessarily think that that's a good thing or a bad thing. I think that when you are afforded the opportunity to take federal contracts, you have to be able to look out for everybody because, look, the country is better off when we have a lot of robust options for banks because different industries have different banking needs and nobody does the same thing. And I'm really not mad at SVB Bank for what happened. You know, they were essentially asked at the end of December to find about $2 billion in the course of 3 months. Well, guys, I don't know about you, but it's hard to find $1,000 sometimes laying around. How are you going to ask an entity like that that has so many obligations committed to make up a delta like that in 90 days? And the day that it became public record that that was what was going to happen, that bank just imploded. Literally, a 40-something billion-dollar market cap bank had less than $1 billion in it. That was starting on a Monday, and that was what was left on a Friday afternoon. So the FDIC and the federal government's got to have a conversation. It is time for the federal government to get out of lots of things. And I honestly, I understand that they print money and they like the creative control, but I'm getting to a place where it's not the right thing for the people and the taxpayers in this country now and moving forward. The Ben Burnett Show's found Sundays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays. We will be right back. It's Extra 106.3, Atlanta's all-conservative talk station.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
So, Robert, I want to thank you for your time. I just don't think you're the right person for this position.
I don't understand. Was it something I said?
Well, we did a background check on you and found some things of concern.
If you're in charge of hiring for your company, you know how helpful a background screening can be. That's why companies that use Horizon Background Screening make smarter hiring decisions. Don't let the wrong hire put your company at risk. Get the real story on your candidates at horizonscreening.com. Horizonscreening.com.
This is the Ben Burnett Show on Extra 106.3.
Welcome back to the Ben Burnett Show. Still Ben Burnett. You can find me on Twitter at Ben Burnett. You can find me on Instagram at the Ben Burnett Show. Final segment today. Have you seen all the goobers down at the Gold Dome? I mean, there's plenty of good, like, quote-unquote conservative people that are just brainless. Senator Jason Anavitarte is sat there and championed the bill where we're going to ban TikTok on state devices. And, you know, that's fine. I'd ban all social media devices, but it's like they're spying on us and we don't want them to have our critical infrastructure. And then the Wall Street Journal this week, it's sad in a way, but you always have to give credit where credit is due. ByteDance is the parent company of TikTok. ByteDance is also the parent company of CapCut. CapCut is like Canva, where you record your video for your Instagram reel. And I've already told you, I'm under protest right now, and I'm protesting you, and you know who you are. But CapCut has sat here. They allow you to augment and change videos. You know who owns CapCut? ByteDance. So by the time we finally get done banning TikTok because they mine all our data, they got another app that they're going to have to go through and figure out how to ban that in the next General Assembly session. And our legislators are pathetic. And I don't mean like in the state of Georgia. I mean all of them. On what planet do you think that there is a world where you're going to keep up with forward-thinking technology? There is a bill that was done, and we don't give California credit for anything. And I mean anything. Gavin Newsom's horrible. They want to do $1 billion worth of reparations for people who live in San Diego. Like, if you wanted to give me reparations to live in 72 and sunny, sign me up. I'm in. But they did something a couple years ago with Google, Apple, Amazon, Netflix, Hulu, all of them. Fang, talk about them pretty regularly. It's the California Privacy Act, sponsored by essentially legislators that were backed from a privacy perspective where all of your data is asynchronously anonymous, which means that those companies willingly said, we have the ability to spy on you. And if you do this, we will no longer collect data. Guys, everybody collects data. Everybody collects data all over the world. You look here, your local law enforcement, They collect data on you, whether you're a U.S. citizen with a Fourth Amendment right to privacy or whether you are passing through. It is everywhere. Camera systems, license plate readers, all of it. The state of Georgia surveils the people who travel in the state of Georgia. This is the part of me where both parties fail miserably. When you look, I have a fundamental right to walk, turn, bicycle out of a neighborhood into another neighborhood without being seen. And until we're willing to have that conversation in the General Assembly and repeal it, then we're not very good actors as a people group, because it's so easy to pick on China over ByteDance or CapCut or TikTok. But the truth is that they're all the same. From genomic sequencing, from your Ancestry.com data, to what you look at, to where you go, to who you are, to what you spend money on, it is all brokered and it is all sold. I'm looking for a Sony A7 S3 camera. It's about $3,000. Every time I get on Instagram, I am offered that camera. That's owned by Facebook. They clearly know that I am in the market for something so that I can show you my beautiful face with even more pixels. And it doesn't end there. Anytime I look at going anywhere, traveling for work, doesn't matter. It's like what to do in Ohio, what to do in Kentucky, what to do in Georgia. Who cares? Some of that is so wrong. And we turn a blind eye as a people group because we check the terms and conditions. And then when another entity does it, look, there are plenty of entities that invest in United States companies that are global. And the United States shares Facebook and Instagram with the rest of the world. But you've seen the European Privacy Act. You saw the California Privacy Act. Do you know who the European countries will not send data? If they want to send it to an Asian country, did you know that they will not send it through the United States? Because part of the Patriot Act allows for the United States government and the NSA and the Department of Defense to look at everything that comes across U.S. soil that traverses a network, even if it's private. It is such a disingenuous conversation for the legislators in the state of Georgia to sit there and pat themselves on the back over banning TikTok. Don't buy it. Ask the next question, because I am super fine with banning social media on taxpayer-funded devices, because not because they can spy on you, because why are you creating TikTok reels on a government paid for cell phone? Get another phone, get your burner. I don't care. If you want to surf the internet, you shouldn't do it with something that's taxpayer funded unless it's for official purposes. And I will always feel that way. But I also want you to be a smarter electorate. You know, the Ben Burnett Show, I told you last segment, we were recording several long form interviews. I've got Chris Clark from the Georgia Chamber of Commerce coming into the studio. I've got Marcus Allen, Heisman Trophy winning running back from USC, Fight On, Song Girls, all the good things. They got the best. They have the best cheerleaders on the face of the earth. I don't care. It's timeless. You can fight me over anything else. That is an indisputable fact. And then I've already recorded a podcast with Tom Price where he talks about running for Congress, sitting in the Trump administration. He was part of the state of Georgia's team when they sat there and finally created the majority. And you saw people like Casey Cagle, you saw Sonny Perdue, you saw a lot of people come into power that are household fixture names, you know, pave the way for guys like Nathan Deal and Brian Kemp. He talks about sitting in Congress in Georgia 6, becoming friends with Paul Ryan, repealing and replacing Obamacare, which actually never happened. Talked about his relationship with Senator John McCain. Tom is a fascinating guy. To listen to him tell the stories of the things that he went through on the scale that he went through with him, with the publicity that surrounded him around flying private planes as a Secretary of Health and Human Services and catching a mountain of grief from President Trump. But it's also interesting to hear his thoughts on addition and multiplication for the Republican Party, and that's where I am. And he talks about the strengths and weaknesses of Mike Pompeo, Ron DeSantis, Nikki Haley, you know, Asa Hutchinson, all sorts of the people that you're going to hear about for months and months. Tim Scott, who's the right fit to represent the Republican Party in 2024? I think you have a lot to look forward with my show. You know, we do My Thought in One Take, and a lot of times I can shoot some of those issues in advance, but things come up. Like, we're going to do one next week on the central banking fiasco, where Jerome Powell had the gall to look you in the face and say, we're working to get inflation back down to 2%. while they raise the 10-year Treasury price to 4.75%, and while the British are sitting with 10.4% inflation. I think that people in Washington that represent the current administration need to start being honest with you about what's going on. And they need to be honest with you about what's going on for one reason, because it teaches you what to expect and it tells you what's actually happening. Because I think most of us at this point realize that printing trillions of dollars during COVID was a giant mistake. But I also think that you have the ability to ask yourself the next question and know that they did what they thought was right at the time, even if the unintended consequences were bad. But they should own all of that, both sides. And the Republicans printed just as much money bipartisanly as the Democrats did with fewer votes. That's all part of it. You know, we don't pull punches. We don't play favorites. I'm a conservative. I'm a very proud conservative. But I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. Monday through Friday, you can listen to Tug Rhino and Carlos Medina on The Morning Extra. Noon to 3, you can catch Clay Travis and Buck Sexton, highest-rated conservative talk show in the country. Need to get Clay on in the spring and summer before he gets really fired up with the presidential election. It's been another episode of The Ben Burnett Show. Make it a great week, everybody. See you around.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hi, I'm Mark Beckham with Atlanta Ramjack. We specialize in only foundation repair. What is foundation repair? Foundations sink or settle. These issues need to be addressed. It only becomes more costly the longer you put it off. What is the biggest cause of foundation problem? Either poor construction, inferior site preparation, or weather. Drought causes cracks in your foundations. If you see any signs of foundation issues, please contact us at atlantaramjack.com.